You'll want to turn to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 20. For this Resurrection Sunday message that I call the rest of the story. It is a blessing to have this opportunity, but it is because of the resurrection that we have this opportunity to share from God's Word. So before we get started, let me bathe this in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you once again for the opportunity to share your Word, your truth. So, Father, I would ask that your Word would go out to the ears that you have already drawn near. Father, that they would come to know you. And to those ears that already know you, that they would grow and mature. And, Father, that you would be blessed by the teaching of your Word. And, Father, that we would not only on this Resurrection Day, but that we would remember daily the price that Jesus paid on the cross and then the gift of new life through the resurrection. So, Father, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you will, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, let me read verses 1 through 11 to you as Paul preaches the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. Verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received and in which you stand, by which also you are saved if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believe in vain. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for your sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen by Cephas, then by the 12. After that, he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remained to the present, but some has fallen asleep. After that, he was seen by James, then by all the apostles. Then last of all, he was seen by me also, as by one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace towards me was not in vain. But I labor more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believed. Now, we have been, last week we looked at the amazing love for Jesus. The amazing love as he entered Jerusalem, but we also saw at the very same time that evil hatred towards him as he came to the end of his earthly ministry. That was it. That was the time. He's coming. It's coming to an end. And Jesus had pushed to the very last nerve of the religious leaders. He had pushed them so far that they wanted no part of his righteous faith that revealed their sin of self-righteousness and hypocrisy. Jesus was not the kind of king that they were looking for. Well, some things haven't changed. Let me read you a letter to the Melbourne Daily newspaper to show you that things have not changed. It says this: after hearing Dr. Billy Graham on the air, after viewing him on TV, after reviewing reports about his mission, I am heartily sick of the type of religion that insists my soul and everyone else's needs saving, whatever that means. I have never felt that I was lost, nor do I feel that I daily wallow in a mire of sin. although repetitive preaching insists that I do. Give me a practical religion that teaches gentleness and tolerance, that acknowledges no color or creed, that remembers the aged and teaches children about goodness and not sin. If in order to save my soul I must accept such a philosophy as I have recently heard preached, I prefer to remain forever damned. Sincerely yours. Now, to most of us, this letter would cut at our hearts because this man doesn't know our God. But this man is us back in time. I mean, when you think about it, I mean, he might be more verbal than most of us would be, but nevertheless, he is an unforgiven sinner, just like us, before we accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Everyone is lost in sin at some time, and some can remember that. Some can remember because it was not that far ago. It was just around the corner that we were unforgiven. And then some of us know because we remember coming to Christ a long time ago and we've grown in maturity, but we still remember that day that we realized that we were sinners, wretched sinners. And some of you may be hearing this and God is actually drawing you near today and you are coming to the realization of your sin. This man has heard about his sin. That means that he is hearing biblical truth. This man has heard that he is a wretched sinner and he doesn't like it. Number one on your outline, the only place that you are going to be identified as a wretched sinner is in the Bible. That's the only place that is going to identify you as a wretched sinner. That is the Word of God. The religious leaders of the day wanted to put Jesus to death to end their troubles. But what the religious leaders of Jesus' day and the man that wrote this letter didn't know was that they were wanting a practical religion, and what they didn't know was they didn't know the rest of the story. They just could see superficially that they wanted something else that was being that wasn't being offered to them. They wanted something else, superficial. But they needed to know the rest of the story, and the rest of the story is the resurrection. We are here today to celebrate the resurrection. We are not here to celebrate Crucifixion Friday. We are here on Resurrection Sunday. This is not a somber day. This is a day of celebration. But the world does not celebrate. Because number two on your outline, the world sees no resurrection. That's the rest of the story. See, they hear that Jesus is a man. And they can only see that he was buried. And in their minds, he must remain in this tomb. They remain indifferent to the resurrection. But in biblical times, we saw the very same thing. The Apostle Paul faced this when he talked to the church at Corinth. See, many in this church had hung on to their past pagan practices and beliefs. And many simply were carrying out a form of Christianity because they would actually just keep it in line with their past practices. See, the Greeks of the day were long in tradition. And they did not believe in a bodily resurrection. They understood that the spirit was good, but their beliefs caused them to know that the flesh was evil. So a person would long to be in spirit, a person would long to die and be in spirit, That would remove them from the body that was evil. In our logical minds, we think the same way. We apart from Christ, don't really understand the resurrection. I mean, how can Jesus stand there and call to Lazarus to come forth and he raises from the dead? That is hard for us to understand. How can Jesus die and be buried in a tomb and then in 3 days rise? It is a difficult thing to understand. And apart from Christ, it is impossible to understand. So for many, it is impossible to believe. To the Greeks, a second birth was really not a good thing. To the Greeks, a second birth would have been a punishment, would have been a penalty. In fact, you can see this when Paul addresses the philosophers at Athens in Acts 17 on your outline. Acts 17, verse 18. Then certain Epicurean and Stoic philosophers encountered him, and some said, "What does this babbler want to say?" And others said, "He seems to be a proclaimer of foreign gods, because he preached to them Jesus and the resurrection." Anything that had to do with a resurrection in the body would have been offensive to them. Then you jump to verse 32. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, while others said, "Well, we will hear you again on this matter." Nothing has changed. When you hear the good news of Jesus Christ, even today, some mock you. It's ridiculous. I have better things to do with my life. I have golf to play on Sunday. But then sometimes, even when you come to church or you go to a church event, they go, "That was pretty good. Yeah, I might come back. I might hear you again." Nothing's changed. Paul again addresses this issue at the church of Corinth. Go back to verse 12 now in 1 Corinthians 15, 12, and we continue in our scripture text. Paul says this in verse 12. "Now if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead?" And that literally translated is, there is no resurrection of corpses. In the first 11 verses that I read to you of chapter 15, Paul is preaching the gospel, the good news of Christ, that he died for their sins, that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he was seen in the resurrection body by hundreds. Paul is forceful here in verse 12. If you are believers, if you have heard the gospel message of Christ, which includes a resurrected body, then how can you hold fast to your past beliefs and say there is no bodily resurrection? You can't do it. And that's what they're stuck on. They're stuck on their old pagan beliefs. And their old pagan beliefs are just fighting against the truth. See, you have to believe the rest of the story. You have to just believe that there is more. You can't just say, "Yes, I am a sinner." Because that leaves Jesus on the cross. There is so much more. Paul goes on to address what happens if you skip the rest of the story in verse 13. "But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen." You can't just take part of the story. And Paul is saying that if you don't believe in bodily resurrection, then Christ is still dead. See, the Greeks were okay with Jesus coming back to life as a spirit. To them, spirit was good and the flesh was bad. But Jesus was a man in flesh, and when he rose, he was still in flesh. And he walked among the people, he ate, and he showed signs of his crucifixion. Luke speaks of this on your outline, Luke 24, verse 33 through 43. So they rose up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together saying, "The Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon." And they told about the things that had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of bread. Now as they said these things, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said to them, "Peace to you." But they were terrified and frightened, and supposed they had seen a spirit. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. But while they still did not believe for joy and marveled, he said to them, "Have you any food here?" So they gave him a piece of boiled fish and some honeycomb. And he took it and ate in their presence. Number three on your outline, Jesus shows them he is alive in a physical body after his resurrection. The point that Paul wants the church of Corinth to see is that if they continue to believe that there is no bodily resurrection, then Jesus never rose. They can't move past that. Number four on your outline, if Jesus never rose from the dead, then the good news of Christ and their faith in him would be worthless and empty. Verse 14 of 1 Corinthians 15, we continue. And it says, "And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty and your faith is also empty." The heart of the gospel, the heart of the good news is the resurrection. Amen? So if you remove it, then everything that you were told is nothing. Everything that you believed in is nothing. Number five on your outline, if the story ends with Jesus dying and being buried, then that's bad news. That's not good news. That's bad news. Our only hope is in a risen Christ. And if he doesn't rise, then it's over. It's bad news for us. That simply means that number six on your outline, the resurrection is everything. The resurrection is everything to the Christian. I want you to understand that this belief or lack of belief in the resurrection is real in this church. It's real in the church of Corinth. And Paul warns over and over that if there is no resurrection, then our faith is nothing. It's a repeated message after repeated message. Verse 15. "Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God." This is speaking of the disciples. "Because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, who he did not raise up, if in fact the dead did not rise." Now that word there in that very first section of 15, found on your outline, is defined this way. It is a word that takes the meaning for these disciples as if they were drawn into a courtroom to give a testimony, to bear witness. And the way that Paul phrases this is it's like saying, if there is no resurrection, then we are found as false witnesses. We are found as liars if there is no resurrection. If you don't believe in the resurrection, then what you are saying is that the disciples are liars. Remember, Paul is speaking to a church, just like we are here at FCC. And some in the church may say, I'm a Christian. I believe. I have read the Bible and I have found that there are good things. It's a good book and it helps me a lot. But if you miss the resurrection, it's like saying that, well, I don't follow all of the Bible. There are parts of it that I don't necessarily agree with. It's not all written for me. I was raised in a different time. I was raised in a different way. I had a hard life. I had a very easy life. I don't feel that all the things in the Bible, I don't feel that all those things are to teach me something, not all of them. It's as if we missed the rest of the story when we fight against the truth. So I'm a sinner. And I know that. That is who I am. I'm not perfect. I am going to die one day. I know that. And I just can't stop being who I am. You'll hear people say that over and over when they're faced with the truth of the gospel. This is just who I am. I understand what your book says, but this is just who I am. Oh, by the way, happy Easter. They missed the rest of the story. Easter is a wonderful time for us. We understand it as Resurrection Sunday, but Easter is a wonderful time because, believe it or not, magazines and newspapers are wishing you a happy Easter. It's that time, twice a year, where Christ is pushed to the forefront of an unbelieving world, that we get the opportunity to say, He is risen. And people respond, He is risen indeed. And then there are those around that are saying, What is this? Some mock, and some say, I'd like to hear more of this. And we give glory to God for the fact that in this world we have the opportunity to say Christ is risen. Amen? We recognize the cross and sin, but it doesn't stop there. Verse 16 and 17. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. Useless. You are still in your sins. Without the rest of the story, there is no forgiveness of sin. And so you just live your life. And when it's done, it's done. I mean, no big deal. I hope you enjoy your life. I hope you enjoy your time here. Because if there is no resurrection, when your time is done, it's done, it comes to the end, there shouldn't really be any sadness because there's nothing more to look forward to. It's just it. Number 7 on your outline, we need a Savior to save us from our sin. You will only find that truth in God's Word. You will only find the truth that you need a Savior from your sin in the Word of God, because without the resurrection, without the truth, the whole truth, this is it. Have a great day. There isn't anything more. Jesus died on the cross for our sins. There's so much more. There's the rest of the story. He rose in new life. And in Christ, you are given new life. So Paul continues to push the point. Because the belief of the people also has implications on loved ones that have already died. So he pushes the point here in verse 18. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. Do you know how hard this is when you start speaking of loved ones that have passed? And in their minds they're going, oh, they're fine, they're with the Lord. But these people are going, but we don't believe in the resurrection. And now Paul has just faced them with that. If you don't believe in the resurrection, then what about your loved ones that have passed? That hurt. They didn't like that. And then Paul hits them hard again in 19. If in this life we have hope in Christ only, we are of all men the most pitiful. Now look at that carefully. If in this life we have hope in Christ only, we are of all men the most pitiful. If we just believe in Christ, in this life, in this one life, not new life, not resurrection life, then everything that we do, I mean, you think about what we're doing today, church and Bible study, Christian fellowship, tithing, praying, serving, preaching, then all this is pitiful because it's nothing. If we only believe in the one life, if you don't believe in the resurrection, it's like a Christian brother or sister in the midst of a test, a great trial in their life, and they are so weak in the faith that they begin to turn and doubt God. They forget the resurrection. I mean, you might even hear them in the hardest trials of their lives. They might say of God, He doesn't even know me. He doesn't even know what I'm going through. They start to give up. I can't do this anymore. It hurts too much. And then they start to turn away. Why do I do church? Why do I give my time? Why do I give my money? Why do I pray if He is not going to answer my prayer? It's a time where we are saying, Christ must have died. Because we don't see anything more. We leave Christ in the tomb. That's when a brother or a sister in Christ, or studying God's Word or Bible study, a faithful friend, they lift you up and they hold you up. And with the love of Christ and the compassion that only comes from Christ, they begin to help you to restore that hope. All that comfort, all the prayers that are poured out on you, all the support, it all comes from a belief in the resurrection, from a belief in new life. Amen? You may even hear words during a great test in your life. You may hear somebody say, remember where your hope is. Don't forget your hope. Your hope is in Christ, who already has won the victory over sin and death and has given you new life. That's the resurrection. Just as Paul brings them back to the truth in verse 20. But now Christ is risen from the dead. All of this doubt, But the truth is, now Christ is risen from the dead. So if Christ is risen, then church, Bible study, Christian fellowship, tithing, praying, serving, preaching, living to glorify the Father in everything that we do, there's a purpose. There's a reason. Do you believe? Do you believe? Not just in Jesus. Do you believe in His resurrection? Because it's everything. Number 8. On your outline, the one that believes in the resurrection is alive. They are made new in Christ. How many times have you wanted to just start your life over? How many times do you want to just, everything that I've done in the past, I want to just start over. Without the resurrection, there is no starting over. Without the resurrection, Jesus doesn't start over. He stays in the tomb. But with the resurrection that we celebrate on this day, with the resurrection, there's new life. That doesn't stop your friends and your family from remembering the old life. Trust me. Find Christ one day in the midst of a family who doesn't know Christ and tell them that you're a Christian. Oh, that's good. I'll believe that when I see it. They remember the old you. But you want the new you. And the new you comes because of the resurrection. Amen? Let me close with this. A story. There was a man walking through an art gallery in Glasgow, Scotland. And as he walked through this gallery, he noticed this young lad looking at a painting. And he just watched him for a moment. And he was just there all by himself. And his eyes were fixed on this grand painting. And the little boy didn't move. So the man walked up to him and he put his hand on his shoulder and he said, "Son, what is this painting?" The little boy looked up to him and said, "Sir, why, don't you know? This is our Lord who died on the cross for our sins. That's the painting." The man said, "Thank you, son." He walked away. Looked at all the other paintings in the gallery, and wasn't long after he stopped at one painting and stood there, and there was a tug at his sleeve. And it was that same soft-eyed boy. And he looked up at him and he said, "Yes, son?" And the boy said, "Sir, I forgot to tell you the rest of this story. He didn't stay on the cross, you know. He rose. Don't forget the rest of the story. Because the rest of the story, the resurrection, is everything to the Christian. It doesn't matter which person you are in that story. It doesn't matter if you're the man that needs to hear the rest of the story or you're the boy that wants to share the rest of the story. The resurrection is everything. The resurrection is the truth. The resurrection is new life for those who believe." On your outline, Romans 6:4 says, "Therefore, we were buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Newness of life comes from Jesus Christ. Comes from the resurrection. It comes from that truth. We are so thankful that you are here this morning to hear the truth, the gospel of Christ. That He didn't just die, that He rose. And we celebrate that resurrection because that resurrection, for many of us, has given us new life. And for that, we give glory to God. Amen? It has been such a blessing to share this news with you. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, thank you for blessing us as we are reminded over and over, even in this world, of the truth of the Savior, Jesus Christ. So, Father, I ask that you would continue to draw us near. Continue to draw us to the truth of your word. Father, that you would allow us to move from all the things of this world that we live by, and that we would see the truth that really begins with the resurrection and new life. Father, thank you for this Resurrection Sunday. Thank you that we can celebrate. Thank you that we can know from your word that Jesus lives. Father, may we live through him to do your kingdom work here, to share the good news of Christ, and then to live for eternity in your presence. Father, thank you for the blessing of new life. Thank you for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.